Now, we cannot accept a situation in which men in arms move without interruption by us to cross the 17th parallel and attack Allied armed forces and Vietnamese civilians in the South. We must know the military consequences of such a military action on our part. They must not expect us to stop our military action by bombing while they continue their military action by invasion. And no one has been able or willing to give us any information on this subject. Now, it is entirely within the resources of the quiet diplomacy of both sides to talk about peace and to discuss mutual steps to reduce the violence. We've been trying in every way known to us to invite and to engage in such talks. Unfortunately, I cannot report to you today any tangible forward movement in this direction. But all channels remain open and are being utilized. As the President said yesterday in his letter to His Holiness the Pope, we are prepared to talk at any time and place, in any forum, with the object of bringing peace to Vietnam. However, I know you would not expect us to reduce military action unless the other side is willing to do likewise. We are prepared, the President said, to discuss the balanced reduction in military activity, the cessation of hostilities, or any practical arrangements which could lead to these results. Our objective in Vietnam is, and always has been, a limited one: a South Vietnam able to determine its own future without external interference. I need hardly repeat that this and this alone is our objective. But for the benefit of members of the press who may not be fully familiar with all our statements, I am today making available points we made last year under 14 different headings, annotated to reflect developments in 1966. These are and remain not in any sense preconditions for discussions, but rather statements of the elements which we believe could produce peace in Vietnam. Let me say quietly and sincerely to all capitals on the other side, let good sense take charge for all of us in this situation. Recognize the necessity for elementary reciprocity. Join with us in a common search for peace. Let us make use of the means available to us to exchange views and to search for those common interests upon which peace can be built. Let us relieve all the peoples concerned of the burdens of this struggle. And let us turn our hand to the urgent, unfinished business of assuring a more decent future for those who have been caught up in this violence for so long. I'm now ready for your questions.
Mr. Secretary, you mentioned the 14 points that were put out a year ago. Would you say that the atmosphere or the climate for peace negotiations has improved in any way since that time, particularly since the conflict in China has become so intense?
It's hard to judge atmosphere because what we really must count upon is specific, tangible indications of a readiness to move toward peace. We're exploring in every way that we know what those possibilities might be. The President has said that we would meet the other side more than halfway. So what the atmosphere really will amount to turns upon whether we can, in fact, engage the other side at points where we and they together can move this matter toward the conference table or toward a peaceful settlement.
Secretary, can you give us some idea of the rate of infiltration these days, is it significantly lower now than it was last year?
There is some time lag in our current information on exact numbers. We know that the infiltration continues. We see the trucks moving south. We see the men moving south. We have other sources of information. We do get from prisoners, from captured documents, and from other sources of information, rather accurate figures, after a bit of time, on what happens in a particular period. But I do not know of any information indicating that the infiltration has stopped, or that they have themselves undertaken a level of infiltration that bears with it political consequences.
About the need to recognize the principle of elementary reciprocity. Since so much of the current discussion seems to hang on this, sir, could you give us some idea of whether by this you mean a specific promise to negotiate if we stop the bombing or specific military action?
Well, I pointed out in my statement that we cannot stop our military actions involved in the bombing while they continue their military actions of invasion. Now, let me illustrate the question of reciprocity just for a moment, because that element has dropped out of a good deal of public discussion of this subject. If we were to say that we would not talk unless all violence stops in the South while our bombing continues in the North, everyone would say that, well, that's absurd. Now, why is it absurd for us and reasonable for the other side? We have had no indication that they will adopt corresponding or reciprocal military moves if we stop the bombing of North Vietnam. And we have some operational questions. Those trucks just north of the 17th parallel, headed south with men in arms, are we to say that they are free to come to the gates with impunity and safety, and then suddenly unload themselves and have those men attack our Marines just across the 17th parallel while we pick this ammunition out of our men instead of dealing with those trucks as a part of the battle where we find them? I think some elementary reciprocity is required, and common fairness and would require that if there is an interest toward peace, that both sides help us move toward it. Because you can't stop this war simply by stopping a half of it.
Secretary, it is being frequently said these days that in the two Burchett interviews and in what Mr. Kosygin said yesterday, that the position of the North Vietnam has been changed. That instead of asserting four preconditions, there is only now one precondition, and it is therefore concluded that there is movement in their position. Do you accept the fact of movement in their position?
Well, these are matters which can be fully explored through existing channels, with existing contacts, with the help of other governments, if that seems desirable, in order to find out whether there, in fact, is a basis for peace. But what has not been said by the foreign minister of North Vietnam or by the prime minister of the Soviet Union was what the military consequences would be if we stopped the bombing. What would the other side do? That's a point which has been ignored. That's a point on which we've had no response. And we need some response on that. Now, let me make it clear. We do not consider that any action in the military field need be a precondition for discussions. We are prepared today to have talks with those on the other side to talk about either the prospects for peace or to talk about the mutual steps which the two sides can take to reduce the violence and move us closer toward peace. Or we're prepared to talk about any point, any handle which can be grasped, which might make a difference in this situation. For example, the demilitarization of the demilitarized zone along the 17th parallel, assistance to Prince Sihanouk of Cambodia in assuring the neutrality and the territorial integrity of his country, the exchange of prisoners. We're prepared to talk about any point which could indicate some constructive step forward. Now, if we are faced with a major condition on the military side as a precondition for discussion, then we are prepared to enter into preliminary discussions with the other side about what action can and should be taken by the two sides in the military field. But there needs to be some correspondence, some reciprocity in these matters, if in fact we're to move this toward a peaceful solution.
In the absence of these discussions, if the decreased infiltration has not reached what you call a politically significant level, how do we measure mutual de-escalation steps on their part? What techniques do we have for determining that this is happening?
Well, I think we would know rather soon in the field whether there was a cessation of activity in and just north of the demilitarized zone. I think there are many ways in which we could get impressions as to the intentions of the other side. One matter that bears upon the question of intentions. As you know, we are now in the middle of a Tet ceasefire. It's a four-day ceasefire, as far as we're concerned. There have been a disturbing number of violations of that ceasefire. And we have seen large numbers of boats and other vessels dashing south along the coast of North Vietnam to resupply their forces in the southern part of North Vietnam and in the demilitarized zone. Now, this indicates that it is their intention to continue the operations, and the large number of incidents indicates that they're not particularly interested in an actual ceasefire. So we have to weigh these things in trying to assess the intentions and the motives of the other side.
Another question, Mr. Secretary. Are there any contacts or discussions of any kind going on to extend that four-day ceasefire to the seven-day ceasefire they say they're going to honor?
Well, Prime Minister Key has indicated some time ago that he would be prepared to discuss with the North Vietnamese authorities the question of an extension of that ceasefire. This is something which can be discussed, which can be looked into, but I could not give you any details today as to whether or not there are discussions pointing in that direction. There are some difficult operational questions about that.
May I change the subject for a minute? Did the visit of Minister Brandt with you eliminate some of the differences which apparently exist between the two countries on the interpretation of the Non-Proliferation Treaty?
Well, I very much welcomed the visit of the Vice Chancellor and Foreign Minister of the Federal Republic. Mr. Brandt and I have met each other many times before, but this is my second meeting with him in his new capacity. And as you would suppose, when the two of us get together, we range pretty widely over a good many subjects of international importance. I think that it will be possible to meet some of the particular points that have been raised in the Federal Republic on the Non-Proliferation Treaty, for example, on the industrial impact of a proliferation treaty. The fact is that the Non-Proliferation Treaty has nothing to do whatever with the use of nuclear materials for peaceful purposes. And that includes a wide range of industrial application. The actual industrial spin-off from so-called weaponry, that is, those items which are limited to the gadgetry of weapons, is very small indeed and infinitesimal. And I think exchanges on the technical level will clarify that point. But it was a legitimate point to raise, and I hope that further exchanges will clarify it to everybody's satisfaction.
Secretary, Secretary, in his news conference this morning, Premier Kosygin apparently defended the Soviet construction of an ABM system. I wondered what you thought of this in light of the efforts on our side to get a freeze.
Well, I think that we might note that Prime Minister Kosygin referred both to offensive and defensive weapons in his press conference. We have placed before the Geneva conference some time ago proposals for a freeze in both these fields, and we're prepared to discuss both offensive and defensive weapons with the Soviet Union. I would not myself interpret what he said this morning as their last word on this subject.
Secretary, the administration's good faith in trying to reach discussions while bombing and other military activity still goes on is cast into some doubt by stories about the bombing that occurred in mid-December and arrangements that supposedly had been made for a meeting in Warsaw. And I think Prime Minister Wilson referred to this in Parliament this week and called it a misunderstanding on both sides. Can you elucidate what that misunderstanding was?
No, because to do so would in my judgment, get in the way of the possibilities of using existing channels to try to move this matter toward peace. It is not for me to talk about reports of particular channels that might have existed at one time or another or were speculated about. When the full story comes out someday, they'll be rather different than some of the things you've heard.